welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark. How are you?
I'm good, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Crazy times we're living in. You chose a poem this week that sort of resonated with me. I've been thinking a lot about it. It's from the British Journal of General Practice. I'll give the citation in a moment. But, you know, clinicians often get a gut feeling. And, you know, I teach decision making to the medical students, and it tends to be very quantitative. We talk about different biases and pretest probabilities, all the stuff that I actually learned from you. But rarely do we talk about sort of subjective feelings. In the literature, the term gut feeling is used sort of the same way we talk about intuition or suspicion. There are definitions of gut feelings, an uneasy feeling about something that's going to happen. There might be something that's wrong here, but I can't tell you why I feel that way. But this framing recognizes that all of us, particularly as we get older, develop sort of a clinical impression during a consultation that informs our diagnostic strategy. These gut feelings are often regarded by some as too subjective. You know, my residents say, well, why do you feel that? Perhaps it's prone to bias. Maybe you had a patient that looked like this or that had the same last name before. And all of those things are quite likely. But there are also these gut instincts. When you're by yourself and the patient comes in and you just get a feeling that something is wrong. This article that you are going to tell us about was published in the British Journal of General Practice. It was published in 2020. It's got an electronic e-citation, so I can't sort of read it to you. But if you Google the British Journal of General Practice, you can find it. Also, you can look on the website for Essential Evidence. Anyways, it attempts to answer the question, how reliable are our gut feelings when we're diagnosing patients with cancer?
Yeah, this was one of several studies. And we actually did a study recently where we looked at what we called clinical gestalt, or the overall clinical impression, but what these authors called, I think, gut feelings. I think we're talking about the same thing. And we found it was actually the most accurate thing, the most accurate thing was that overall impression for diagnosing pneumonia and for diagnosing bacterial sinusitis. So I think we should learn to trust our gut. And this is more evidence along those lines. So these authors looked at several databases, websites, reference lists of included papers to identify studies that evaluated GP, primary care physicians, use of gut feelings for a potential cancer diagnosis. They used reasonable methods to select the articles. They extracted data, assessed the quality of the included studies. There were 12 articles, 4 online resources. 6 of the papers were qualitative, and the remainder were quantitative. Although the authors, they rated the methodological quality of the qualitative studies as good, they had more concerns about the quantitative studies. So, not surprisingly, lots of clinicians had difficulty in specifying what their guts were saying, that their suspicion was that the patient was unwell as opposed to specifically having cancer. That comes from the qualitative studies where they interviewed these physicians, you know, trying to get at what were you feeling? Where was this coming from? When gut feelings were present, clinicians did generally act on them, you know, by ordering tests or referring. There were 4 studies with 17,400 patients, of whom 450 had cancer diagnosed. The authors report that when the GP had a gut feeling they might have cancer, the odds of the patient ultimately being diagnosed were 4 times higher. So, you know, this is a systematic review. The literature isn't perfect, but it does seem like gut feelings for cancer diagnosis also are helpful. And, you know, we should pay attention to that. You know, I think we, particularly as you see lots and lots of patients over many years, you're training your neural network. You know, there's certain implicit cues or subtle cues that you may not even be able to articulate, but that can trigger that gut feeling in us.
I'm reminded of 2 things. One, the factor of age. It would be interesting to look at whether gut feelings improve as you age. The other thing is, I was just talking
as clinicians age or as the patient's age.
As a clinician's age.
Yeah.
I was just talking with a colleague of mine, an ENT, who was talking with me about this new dog that they've got that in the department that can identify nasopharyngeal carcinomas. Apparently, it's as sensitive and specific as some of the imaging studies, et cetera. But I wonder if perhaps this may be olfactory and that something...
Yeah, could be. I think it's probably lots of things that we're sort of integrating. You know, instead of using a multivariate analysis to create a clinical prediction rule, we just kind of do that in a more implicit way in our head. And, you know, you can do that because you have seen more. I do think you're going to have very different quality of that gut feeling from a, you know, a medical student or intern compared to an experienced clinician. I'm also reminded of the surprise question where you ask physicians, would you be surprised if this patient died within the next year? And it was actually reasonably accurate. And so again, that gets down to that sort of gut feeling question.
Very interesting. Thanks for bringing this to our attention, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds good.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.